Psalm 139. Let us read again in verse 17. Psalm 139 and verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How precious also are thy thoughts toward me, is probably the clearer translation. Now this psalm is a searching psalm, and the opening verses of this psalm are extremely well known to us, and sometimes they are very disturbing to us to read them, that God knows so much about us, that he knows our thoughts, that he knows our words even before we have spoken them. And yet these things, although they disturb, if we are his children, then they are not a terror to us, because although searching is hard and it's disturbing, nevertheless, as children of God, we want to be searched. We want to know how it is with us, and we want to know where we need to follow the Lord more closely than we do. The nakedness of his mind and his thoughts seem to have come home to the psalmist during this psalm more than in any other psalm. Just in the verses before verse 17, he has been considering God's singular care over him in the womb, before he was born, God's interest in him all the way through the formation and through all the intricacies of his physical person. But God's interest in him did not finish with his birth. It didn't finish as soon as he was completely formed. Just as every detail was executed and planned while he was in the womb, so the thoughts continue in intense detail. They don't let up, because that in the womb work is over. They go on in intensity and in detail, God's thoughts towards the believer. The theme here is God's continuing and detailed and meticulous care over the believer in all the details of his life. That God is looking upon it. That God is extending his own mind and thought towards it. That he settles upon us his thought, and that in the greatest detail. Now in Psalm 40 we sang together about the same kind of idea. The psalmist says, are thy thoughts to usward? They cannot be reckoned, they are more than can be numbered. Just the same idea of the uncountableness and the intensity and the detail of God's thoughts towards the believer. Of course, it's all related to the immensity of God, the immensity of his mind, and the unlimited nature of his thoughts. That he is able to extend his thoughts, to concentrate his thoughts so much on every single believer all at the same time. That is no difficulty to him. It is just his omnipotent power and the immensity of his thought, of his mind, and of his person. Now, first of all, a word about the reality of God's thoughts toward the believer. This is a reality. It is a sense, it's a source of wonder to us that God thinks of us at all. The psalmist again has the same thought when he asks, "What is man that thou art mindful of?" And it's not just mindful here, but it's this concentration, this convergence of his thoughts upon the believer especially. It is a wonder that he thinks of us at all, never mind in this way. It is a source of wonder that we are in his thoughts at all. And it's not just casual thoughts. Verse 16, we read there, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Notice, in thy book. This is no casual look over, but this is a careful examination, and it is all recorded. It is in his book. "In thy book all my members were written." So it continues. He searches, he examines, takes keen and intense interest, he focuses his thoughts, he counts the very steps of the believer, and even his thoughts are all under the searchlight of God. These things are so, not only when we are living in close communion with God, but even when we lose that communion, even when we stray and when we wander, and even as the psalmist himself says, "Even when I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." What is this? What is this wonder? The reality is a wonder. And it only takes a little bit of pondering upon it to realize what a wonder this is. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." There is no escape from his presence. "From thy spirit whither shall I go?" There is no escape. Even when we try and hide ourselves in darkness, even when we, as we sometimes do, we set him aside, he might take a sort of a holiday from our spiritual disciplines and from our spiritual life in order to indulge in something. But he takes no holidays. This examination of our thoughts, this converging of his thoughts upon us, there are no breaks in it whatsoever. This emphasizes the constant nearness of God at all times to the believer. We can't take our leave of him for an instant. But he may of course look upon us sometimes not so much with a smile as with a frown. But never does he break off his thoughts toward us. Then secondly, the preciousness of God's thoughts toward us. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." to the believer, this idea is not oppressive. Even although at times there may be a desire, sinful desire, to escape from it, nevertheless, on the whole, this is the way that we would have it. This is something which is not an oppression to us, but is a blessing to us, and is a source of gladness of heart if we are His true children. How precious, and indeed precious it is, that God should think toward us in this way. When Adam and Eve fell, they hid from the presence of God. And so for sinful man, man in his sin, in his darkness, so it continues, hiding from the presence of God, getting as far away as possible from the presence of God. But when we are saved, this changes completely. This is one of the great changes which come with conversion. That instead of hiding from God, instead of keeping God at some length from us, we enjoy His presence. We enjoy His friendship and His closeness. And we say how precious it is. It is a blessing. It is His goodness that His thoughts converge on us in this way. We love the thought that God takes a close interest in us. Even although at times we may feel embarrassed by His interest. Yes, it is a real thing in the Christian life that we feel embarrassment in the presence of God, and rightly so. But nevertheless, we would not have it any different, because we are His children. We love the thought that He takes an interest in us. It is something precious to us. How precious, O Lord, are Thy thoughts toward me. Firstly, that He had it in His heart to extend His grace to us and to save us. That started in the heart of God. It started with God's thoughts toward us. Without that movement in the heart of God, we would never have been saved. That's where it started. From there, the whole operation went forwards, but that's where it had its roots, in the mind of God. And we are thankful, and we find it precious that He had these thoughts toward us, to extend His grace to us and to save us, to extend it to the undeserving and to those who deserve the very opposite, deserve to be forsaken and cast away. Nevertheless, He didn't do so, but He extended His precious thoughts to us. Then there is the continuing shepherding. In the Christian life, we are conscious of it. We know that it is there. The provision and the protection, the leading into green pastures beside still waters. We know that, and we are conscious of it, and we experience it. But even in chastisement, we are glad that He has these thoughts towards us. We are glad that He thinks of us, that He is sufficiently concerned and jealous towards us, that He chastises us when we begin to give our affections to other things and to take to ourselves other loves. he chastises. And if we are believers, we are glad of it. Glad of his thoughts. Glad that his thoughts focus upon us, even in chastisement. Even when it is an embarrassment to us. These thoughts are precious because we know that they are thoughts of love. Thoughts of an unquenchable love. Love which cannot be quenched by our thoughtlessness, by our waywardness, our stiff-neckedness, our disobedience, and our outright sin, even by our sin against light, which again is a reality in our lives. In Jeremiah we read, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, but not of evil, to give an expected end. God himself knows himself. He knows what he's doing. He knows every thought he has towards us. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, towards thee. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give an expected end. God working all things together in order that the end that he has in mind will be achieved. And that is our eternal blessedness. Even the hard things of this life for us work towards our eternal blessedness. Thirdly, how great is the sum of them? How great? Verse 17, less second part of the verse. How great is the sum of them? Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Even if it were possible to count them, to count the sand, it would be impossible to count these thoughts. But it is not just one continuing thought. As if God just winds up the clock of his thoughts and just lets it run. It is not so at all, but innumerable thoughts, many, many millions of single and separate and intimate thoughts towards the believer, covering every aspect of his life, every need, every weakness, every inability, and even the weakness of our faith. He provides for all of it. As we read in Philippians, he is able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He is able and he is also willing, we know that, to supply all our need. Then there is the unbroken continuity of his presence. The end of verse 18, when I awake, I am still with thee. We must sleep. It is very hard existence for a human being if they don't get sleep. I would reckon it's one of the greatest afflictions when someone does not get any sleep at all. And there are some like that. But the Bible tells us that God never sleeps. He that keeps Israel, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is the ever-wakeful one. And his thoughts toward us continue even when we are asleep. When I awake, he says, I am still with thee. It is as if we wake up, perhaps having fallen asleep with thoughts of God and consciousness of our own thoughts towards Him. And then we sleep and all our thoughts are broken off. And then we wake up and we realize that there was no break in the continuity of His thoughts, that they continued right through our sleep. We awake, we realize the continuity, that we are constantly with Him. Perhaps even there is a forward reference here to the resurrection itself. When I awake, when we die, what happens? Well, our consciousness, as far as we can make out, our consciousness of things is interrupted. Sometimes I wonder, for the believer, if it is interrupted. But as far as we can see, it seems that way for us, that there is a loss of consciousness. For a moment, anyway. But says here, when I awake, I am still with thee. Will it be like that? Even if it's just closing of our eye and an opening in eternity to a newness of life, a newness of consciousness. Will it be a case of waking up and realizing, well, I have been through death, through the grave, and yet when I awake, I am still with thee. It's a wonderful thought. That right through the valley of the shadow, through death itself, through the grave, that He is with us. Now, there is one more thing here before we close. It's not just a case of we with Him, but it's not just a case of Him with us, but of us with Him. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, that's an important thing to note, because our own thoughts very often are on the fact that according to His promise, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. That He never parts from us. I'm with you every step of the way, even unto the end. The emphasis here, again we have it in Psalm 73. That psalm which tells of the psalmist going through a period of weakness in his faith, a blurring of his vision, and he looks on the wicked and their prosperity, their freedom of trial and affliction. He looks on them and he says, I was envious of the wicked. And he goes right through the dip, and then he comes up and he realizes that he is a fool. He says, behold, he says, I was as a beast before thee. Having these thoughts, just like a beast. And then he says that all through it, I was continually with thee. Not just, again, He with us, but us with Him. That's a wonderful thought, you know. That we are with Him, as well as He being with us. When I awake, I am still with thee. I was with thee before I slept, And I thought that when I slept, that I ceased to be with thee, even although thou didst continue to be with me. Not so. Not so. What he says is, when I wake, I am still with thee. All the way through. That there is not only a witness towards us on the part of God, but he maintains our witness with him. I am continually with thee. When I wake, I am still with thee. These are precious things. They are not sort of tangible things. They are not things that we can show off. They are not even spiritual things which we can show off, as we sometimes tend to do. But these things are invisible and intangible. They are personal. And they are, for all that, the more precious to us. That each one of us has this special place in the thoughts of God. That he focuses his thoughts upon us. That there is a preciousness in every moment of our lives. In our waking, in our sleeping. In our sorrows. Even in our sickness, even on our deathbed, and even in death, all the way through, when I wake, I am still with thee. Gracious God, some things are difficult to put into words. Yet, Lord, even although we cannot express them, they are precious to us. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt take up where words fail, that thou wilt open up this area to us, this precious area of thy thoughts toward us. Bless us now and keep us as we continue together, and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, Amen.